Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
What a weekend ahead of us. Welcome along to the Weekend Racing Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings, and Paddy Power's Frank Hickey looking ahead to the Dublin Racing Festival and a great card at Sandown, which, fingers crossed, will survive the weather. The snow looked like it was going to wipe everything out, and apart from the all-weather stuff, but it looks like we might be okay. I'm told there's no problems in Ireland, where Leopardstown stages 2 days of superb action, and the excellent clerk of the course down at Sandown, Andrew Cooper, is full of hope that everything will be fine for the ITV races on Saturday, which is where we will start. And the 150 features the champion hurdler Bouvardair going for a hat-trick in the 888 Sport Contenders Hurdle. Frank, how short is he?
He's 1-8. Vision de Flo is 9-1. Roxana 16-1. Raven Black 20-1. And the Dollar Man's 40-1.
Now, DJ, just because there's only two experts this week doesn't mean you can talk for even longer. But we will get your views on what will happen here. Bouvardair obviously suffered a shock defeat last time. Do you think he'll get chinned again, or will this be back to his regal self?
Yeah, I'm going to try and save my words for later in the postcast, because there's plenty of good race to talk about. So I'm going to keep this short and sweet, which is unlike me. I just think it's fairly simple. I think Bouvardair will travel all over these. I don't think Barry will have to get too serious. And I think he'll win by a similar margin as he's done for the last 2 years.
OK, Frank, remind us what those margins were and whether you think that will be repeated or extended.
Yeah, I think it was 1.5 lengths and 1.75 lengths the last 2 years. So I imagine it'll be something similar where he'll just be on the bridle and cruise past and won't win by too far. I just have a little theory on why he might have been beaten at Christmas. Just he ran a career-high RPR in the Fighting Fifth when he beat Sam Crowe. He ran an RPR of 173. To put it in context, his two champion hurdle wins generated RPRs of 167 and 170. And I generally find when a horse coming back after a little bit of an absence, I know it was only, whatever, 7 or 8 months, maybe 8 months, runs a career high mark like that, they need a little bit longer than just 25 days is what he had off. They need generally, I think, around 6 weeks. So that might have been the reason why he got turned over at Kempton. But I expect him to get back on track tomorrow.
Do you see him winning the champion hurdle easily enough, Frank?
Not easily enough. He's definitely the one to beat, but I wouldn't be shocked to see him turned over this year. I'm still not sure who by, but I wouldn't be steaming into him at whatever he is, 13 to 8 or 7.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to press you for one. Who can beat him?
The one I think is interesting, and I could be way off here, if the ground is just the normal good to soft, would be Sharjah. Although he disappointed a gentleman last year, his beating of Faheen and then his win at Leopardstown suggests he may have just turned the corner and really be improving. And I'd be willing to give him a chance, you know. He's about 9 or 10 to 1.
Would you be taking the favourite on in the champion hurdle, DJ?
It goes against all kind of tipsters, like all recognisable tipsters with a good reputation. Everybody seems to be taking on Lorena. But I just think sometimes, as I've said on this show before, I think you have to try and believe your eyes rather than the form. And I just think we could be witnessing something really, really special with Lorena. It goes against everything. She's beaten nothing. She's only beaten mares. She's only beaten novice mares. But for pure excitement and potential and promise, I think she could be really, really special. So that would be the reason I would think that Lorena is the most likely winner at this stage.
OK, back to the matters in hand on Saturday. The 2.25 at Sandown is the 888 Sport. Silly Isles, Novices Chase, and this is a much, much more competitive heat, Frank.
Yeah, Vindication 7-4. Def Desai and Lost in Translation are both 9-4. Delora is 14-1 and Mulcahy's Hill is 16-1.
And Frank, who wins?
Yeah, I think Vindication is the one to beat. He's not the most, he doesn't blow you away with the way he wins, but he always seems to just find and just do enough to win. And there's one bit of form that does make him stand out as potentially top class, and that was his novice hurdle win at Ascot last season when he gave Champ £6 and beat him a neck. The third, Justice Sting, was 13 lengths back, his rate at 137 over fences now. So that was a decent enough race. I really liked the way he won at Carlisle when he kept finding, and even when he beat Jerry's back at Ascot, it was never in doubt. I think the danger to him is Defy Desai, who I think Barry will probably hang on to him a bit longer than he did at Cheltenham, but I think Vindication is a horse going places. He's 6 from 6, and I expect him to be 7 from 7.
David Jennings, what do you think?
Yeah, it's funny. I obviously got married on New Year's Day, and I'm in a kind of a group of Liverpool fans that there's 12 of us in a group, and we put a tenner in every week, and then for 12 weeks, each person gets to pick a bet and bet with €60, and we bank the other €60. So it was my week, the week of the wedding, and I was absolutely mad and lost on translation in the Dipper. So during the ceremony, there was a big cheer down the back of the church. Mark Brennan and a few other lads down the back that were in the group cheering. So I actually knew he had won before I came out of the church. But when I watched the race again, I watched the race, and immediately after the race, I said to myself, do you know what? Lost in translation might never beat Deafi Desai again. Because Deafi Desai, like, he travelled all over him. I thought he jumped particularly well. And it was just a long run in up the hill, allowed Lost in Translation to get back. I thought Deafi Desai was dossing a bit in front. It's, you know, he was properly asked to race, unlike at Exeter when he beat top of the game. I think Barry will hold on to him for longer, and I think Vindication and Lost in Translation might just set it up for him. So I'd be in the Deafi Desai camp. I actually think he probably should be favourite.
So the priest is saying, giving you words of advice on how to stay together for eternity and love each other and look after each other. And all of a sudden, a dozen people down the back start cheering. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there was about three or four lads down the back of the church. And I actually knew that the race, I think, was at maybe 1:45 or 1:35. I can't remember exactly the Dipper. But there was this kind of cheer down the back of the church, and nothing exciting was happening in the mass. Like, we were lighting candles or something. I was like, they're obviously not cheering for us. So obviously Lost in Translation won. And as it transpired, he did.
Must have been some rowdy wedding if they're cheering during the service. The 3 o'clock at Sandown is the 888 Sport Heroes Handicap Hurdle. Over 3 miles, and now it gets really competitive, Frank.
Yeah, Casco Dairy is now our favourite, 6-1. Ballymoy, 7-1. Keeper Hill and Lord Napier, 8-1. Mr Antonini, Virginia Cheek are 10-1, and we're 12s bar.
And before Frank tells us why he's giving Mr Antonini one more chance, DJ, who have you got?
Oh, this is really tricky. Casco Dairy is obviously very interesting, but he's up £14, and it's a better race. But you kind of look at him and you say to yourself, he's a 7-year-old going places. He probably has more to offer. One that I think at a big price could go well, and he would actually, at the prices, would be my selection each way, is Flem Cara. Emma Lavelle's team are much better form now. Aidan Coleman takes the ride. The ground should be fine. I think he'll cope fine with the ground, and certainly stays as well. So at the prices, just because I think could have a little bit more to offer. It's carrying 10.6, rated 132. I think it could get to 140 maybe over hurdle. So I'm going to go for Flem Cara.
And just very quickly, what did your wedding speech make up minutes?
I can't remember exactly. I wrote down, roughly, I'd say mine was about probably 20 minutes maybe.
20 minutes? You're joking.
God. Is that like too
That's
long or too short?
Way too long. I mean, obviously yours was going to be a long speech, but did you get them? Was there not a dry eye in the house by the time you finished?
See, I kind of...
Probably wasn't an open eye in the house after 20 minutes.
It was funny because I said to myself beforehand, right, this is my wedding day, so I don't want to try to crack jokes and try and be funny, because I'm obviously not naturally funny. So I didn't want to try and be too funny. So I tried to be sentimental and tried to be sincere. So that's why it was a little bit shorter than planned.
Oh, lovely. Frank, who wins the 3 o'clock at Sandown?
Yeah, funnily enough, I've landed on the same horse as DJ, Flem Cara. Quite progressive last year. Won 3 on the bounce before running this race last year, disappointed. But Emma Lavelle's were never really firing last season, and are much better this year. Now, this hasn't really taken to chasing. It was tailed off at Fast Last, but it was running much better at Chepstow behind Steely Edition and Yaltara when unseating 4 out at Chepstow at the start of December. Those two horses are gone up. Steely Edition went up £13 for that. Yaltari has now gone up £17. So he probably had an impossible task even to latch on to them. I think he would have been third that day. He's running off a mark of 132 here. He won nearly on the bridle at Chepstow last January off a mark of 130. He idled in front, didn't do a tap. I think he should travel well into this, and I can see him going well. And one I don't think he'll win tomorrow, but one definitely to keep an eye on for the rest of the season is Brio Conti for Paul Nicholls. He hasn't been seen since November 2017 when he won a novice chase up in Carlisle. Nicholls has won this twice in the past 10 years. Both horses had been chasing and returned to hurdles. Top of the game, of course, last year, and Bechabar going back about 10 years. this horse was, it won a really competitive handicap at Kempton over 2.5 in March 2017, went to the Grade 1 at Aintree, was only 5-1 to win a race that Finian's Oscar ended up winning. But the likes of Captain Foray, Mizir de Zabo and Benatar were just ahead. Le Bagarois, Bellamy de Sivla, Lebroy, Lochter Spirit were behind. So he's on a mark of 143. Be interested to see what Paul Nicholls' comments are later about this, but I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up being targeted at something like the Carlo Cup. So he's definitely one to keep an eye on how he goes tomorrow.
Okay, and you've given up on Mr. Antolini now, have you?
Just the 3 miles would be a concern for me. Okay. If it was 2.4, 2.5, I'd probably think he'd be solid enough each way, but
righty
just short of 3 miles wouldn't do it for me. No.
Let's concern ourselves with another difficult head-scratcher, the 3.35 at Sandown. It's the 888 Sport Masters Handicap Chase. Over 3 miles, Frank, a show of betting and then your selection.
Yeah, we're 5 places here as well. Bellamy de Picton's 4-1. Give Me a Copper, 5-1. Ami Dubois, 8-1. Ublin de Zabo, 10-1, along with Divine Spear, Shanro Santos. Kimberley Candy's 12-1, along with Larev, and we're 14's bar. The one I like is Ami Dubois. He's probably a little bit underrated. He was 5th in Albert Bartlett behind Penn Hill, nearly 2 years ago. But he really started to come into form there recently. He was 3rd in the Welsh National Trial at Chepstow, beaten 5 lengths by Ramses de Toye. Now, that horse was 2nd in the Welsh National itself under a £4 penalty. It's now gone up another, I think, 4 or 5. The likes of Back to the Hatch was 4th that day. He was 2nd at Haylock. It showed up really well at Haylock last time, over just short of 3.5 miles. It didn't stay that day, but it was out in front to about the 3rd last and then weakened from there. Now, there's a little bit of pace on here with Loose Chips, but if they don't go mental up front, I think this horse is well handicapped. He was a handicap hurdle winner a couple of years ago off a mark of, I think it was 137, so he's running here off 132. I think the interesting thing too is Graham McPherson has had 3 winners from 8 runners in the last 2 weeks. So with a small yards and form like that, I think they're worth following, and this horse is definitely capable of making a mark.
Thank you, Frank.
Off that 132.
Frank likes Amy Desbois. Who does David Jennings like?
This is really, really good for me and really, really bad for Frank. Before I come on here, I was looking through these two handicaps and I said to myself, I'm going to pick two completely from left field that nobody else will fancy, Flem Cara and Ami Dubois. And for all the points Frank made, I wasn't expecting this at all. For all the points Frank made, Ami Dubois, I even went through Graham McPherson's form as well and saw that he had 3 winners, which was the last thing I checked. Just think the trip and the ground are perfect. Like this time last year, Ami Dubois was rated 141, down to 132 now. And he's a little bit of a forgotten horse. You kind of forget back to his novice days as a hurdler at Cheltenham and how well he ran in that race. And he should have so much more to offer off 132. I think he's the best handicapped horse in the race. The one horse who could be a class above them is Give Me a Copper, who hasn't run since 2017, the horse Frank was talking about, trained by Paul Nicholls in the last. But when he won his 2-horse race at Kempton when he was last seen in November 2017, he absolutely annihilated 3 ways, who went on to be rated 133. So that suggests that he could be well handicapped off 145, Give Me a Copper. But Ami Dubois was the one I came down on.
Right then, we will move on to Ireland next. And talking of Ireland, Racing Post is delighted to offer you the chance to win an incredible trip to visit Ireland's top 2 jumps trainers. Two lucky winners and a guest each will be treated to an exclusive visit to the Gordon Elliott Yard on Thursday, February the 21st, and the Willie Mullins Yard on Friday, February the 22nd. It really is a money can't buy trip. I've never been to Gordon's. I'm sure DJ has loads of times. I've certainly been to Willie's, and that is absolutely superb. You really will love it. If you love your racing, you love your jumps racing, you must give this a go. For more details on how to enter, just visit racingpost.com/competition.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. Let's get stuck into the Dublin Racing Festival. Is it the second year of it, DJ?
Yes, it is.
It made an instant impression last year. This year it's going to be equally good. And like I say, the weather's been kind despite all the snow and ice. It looks like they're going to race both days at Leopardstown. Cannot wait for this. It's going to be superb. Really great race, and they've rejigged the programme so the chases are on at the end, so that if there's a little bit of ice in the ground, it will have thawed by then. We'll look at the 12.50. Before I get the lads' thoughts, there's a great exclusive free bet offer from our sponsors, Paddy Power, on this race. If you bet £20 or £10 each way on the first race at Leopardstown on Saturday, the 12.50, you get a £10 free bet on any other race on the card. This is for new Paddy Power customers, and you can find details at racingpost.com/freebet. So if you haven't got a Paddy Power account, this is a great chance to get started. Okay then, let's look at the 12.50. It's the Nathaniel Lacey and Partners Solicitors 50,000 Cheltenham bonus for stable staff novices hurdle. It's a grade one over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. And Frank, how do Paddy Power bet?
Yeah, this market is subject to change, I think, considering Battle Over Dying has come out this morning. But at the moment, Dunvegan is 4-1 favourite. Commander of Fleet and Salzaretta are both 9-2. Relegate is 5-1. Come to Me and Get a Reason and Rhinestone are all 10-1 and we're 14-1 bar.
DJ, start us off.
Yeah. Obviously no Battle Over Diane, so you're probably just lacking a potential superstar. He was the grade one winner in the field that you thought could be something really special. The Willie Mullins jockey bookings here are fascinating as much as they are head-scratching, because the shortest price Willie Mullins run in the Paddy Power market at the moment is Salzaretta, who's ridden by Patrick Mullins, who has to get down to 11 stone 3, which suggests to me that this horse is third choice, because Ruby's on Relegate and Come to Me is ridden by Paul Townend. So both of those are bigger prices than Salzaretta, which is obviously interesting. Dunvegan is a horse that I actually put up for the Albert Bartlett at 40-1 earlier this week on another show we do up in the Ante, because I think the form of his fairy race has worked out spectacularly well, with Swordsman winning next time and a good few in behind also winning. Pafahi thinks the world of him. Now, whether he deserves to be favoured for a grade one on the back of that is certainly debatable. And at the moment, he's no value at 4-1. The horse I think is value, because I think he is a potential grade one winner, is Rhinestone. Now, he was a little bit disappointing at Navan last time. He made a couple of mistakes, especially the second last, and he got no space and room to manoeuvre up the home straight. I think he's better than the bare form of that. I think they had a few kind of minor hiccups with him after the race. But I just hope that Martin Pipe at Cheltenham isn't the plan for him, because if it is, you know, I could see him finishing the first six here and getting a nice mark for Cheltenham. But if they think he can win a grade one at Cheltenham, if they think he can win the Ballymore, I think he's a real life player here. I think he's a really, really potentially classy horse. So I'm going to go with Rhinestone.
Okay, is that one of those ones, DJ, where you watch the market, or do you just lump on and hope that he shortens?
Yeah, like, I don't know, with these JP horses, like, there was one that won earlier on in the week at Down Royal, trained by Robert Tyner, that there was no real money for, eights into sevens, and it absolutely bolted up under Philip Enright. So I don't know. At the moment, I'm finding it very hard to judge the JP horses. I just think at the moment he looks an ideal type for the Martin Pipe. He could be in a different league to the horse he's running against in that. So it's just a case of whether they think, you know, he's really, really top class and he might win a Ballymore, or whether they think he's going to be one of their live players in one of the handicaps.
Okay, Frank, it's a difficult old start to the weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a tough race. The one, yeah, it would have been a lot easier if they just left Battle Over Dying in. We could have just tipped him up. But the one I'm kind of warming to a little bit is Relegate for Willie Mullins. Now, Tower Bridge broke Willie's monopoly in this race last year when getting up to win, but Relegate obviously won the champion bumper last year at Cheltenham. She won the mayor's bumper here at this meeting last year too. Disappointed at Punchestown in the bumper there, but initially when she was beaten over hurdles at Punchestown on her reappearance, yeah, you were very disappointed with that. But in hindsight, Cuneo absolutely mulled her at the last hurdle. She may have won only for that. Cuneo went away and won a pretense qualifier at Leopardstown at Christmas off of a mark of 126, has gone up to 133. Relegate dropped to 2 miles at Nays last time, beating Caravation and Barrington Court of Jesse Harrington. They're two decent enough mares. The 2 miles would have been short enough for her. I think the step up and trip is a massive plus, and I think it's no worry that Ruby's picked her. I think she's got a solid enough chance, and I wouldn't be surprised if she shortened up another little bit before the evening's out.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, the next race is a real class E affair. It's the 125, the BHP Insurance Irish Champion Hurdle, and a very fruity affair at the top of the market, Frank.
Yeah, Apples Jade is even money. Melon 5-2, Super Sunny 11-4, Petit Mouchoir 16-1, and we're 33's bar.
What do you like, Frank?
just, I mean, it's a race I kind of struggle with. I know Apples Jade's a superstar, and like she, like when she's good, she's brilliant. But I just have a small question mark about the trip 2 miles. She hasn't run over the trip since, I think, Down Royal in November 2016, as far as I know, when she was second to Rashan. It's not going to be easy for her. And then Mellon, he won a maiden hurdle at Leopardstown, but he's been disappointing in his two runs here. Last year in this race, when well beaten, when he went very weak on the show, and when on his reappearance behind Sharjah as well. So the one I kind of came down on was Super Sunday. Like, I think people underestimate him. He doesn't really stay 3 miles, in my opinion. And like, he won this race last year, beating Fahin easily enough. He ended up winning the Punchtown Champion Hurdle as well, albeit when Mellon and Sam Crow both fell. But he won easily enough from Wicklow Brave. He was second to Sharjah at Christmas. I wouldn't be surprised if... I think Apples Jade is going to have to go relatively hard from the front here over 2 miles because of the drop in trip. And I might just play to Super Sunday's hands. And I actually wouldn't be surprised if he turns her over.
OK. David, what are your views?
Yeah, I can see Frank's case there. Actually, Frank said that she was beaten by Rashan on her last try at 2 miles. She's actually, her last two tries at 2 miles, most recently was in the Fighting Fifth when she was beaten a nose by Irving. And the time before was against Rashan in that WKD hurdle at Down Royal. So twice, her last two tries at 2 miles in 2016, she was beaten. That's obviously a little bit of a concern, but I think the 2019 Apples Jade is different to the 2016 one. They really just go out and let her do her own thing now. I spoke to Jack Kennedy earlier on this week, and he said, like, she's literally the easiest horse in the world to ride because you can just completely let her roll. And the fact that Tombstone is in here as well will allow her to have a little bit of company up front, I think, because probably her best ever performance was in the Hatton's Grace at Fairy House in December when Wicklow Brave took her on up front. And she seemed to love that. And I think they're going to do something similar here. A little bit of company for her up front in the shape of Tombstone. And, you know, I was like Frank. I was trying to take her on and I was kind of looking at Super Sunday. And then I was looking at Mellon, who should come on a lot for his return in the Ryanair Hurdle. And after about like an hour, I said to myself, do you know what? I'm trying to find real chinks in her armour, and I think she's going to cope with the drop to 2 miles because she's going to go so quick. And I just think she's better than them getting the £7, and I think this is a good move by Gordon Elliott running her in this race. Would I back her at the price she is at the minute? Probably not. Do I think anything will beat her? Probably not.
Poor old Frank made one little mistake and then DJ absolutely butchered him there, didn't he? Blimey O'Reilly.
Life does to you, Bruce.
Right, then. The 310 is the Ladbrokes Dublin Chase. A grade one over 2 miles and one furlong. Another classy contest. Who is favourite, Frank?
Yeah, Min is 8-13, St. Cavalas 5-1, Simply Ned 11-2, Cascarace Paddy 8-1, Specialty Hour 16-1, and Ordinary World is 20-1.
DJ, you're going first.
Oh, Bruce, this is an absolute certainty. I think this is probably the favourite banker of the meeting. I respect Frank more than you'll ever know, but I will lose respect for him if he tips something up against Min, because I think Min is rock solid. Won the race last year, easily beat Simply Ned. You could say turning around the form from their clash at Christmas that year, but Min did beat Simply Ned and it was overturned in the Stewart's Room. Like, you go through Min's form and you kind of forget how good he actually is. Like, second to Altior in front of Bouvard Air and that Supreme. And every single strand of his form actually does stack up. So, as I said, I lose respect for Frank if he tips something up to beat Min.
Frank's desperately trying to find something else then.
Jeez, you make one mistake and he has you down as clueless. Like,
unbelievable, isn't it? What are you going to go for, Frank?
Look, Min will win. Like, as in, the money at the start of the week was telling in that I think Footpad was favourite at the beginning of the week and Min was, I don't know, 2-1 or 9-4 or something. And yeah, probably should have guessed that something wasn't right with Footpad. But look, he'll win. He's different level to these. Like you see there, he's second in a Supreme, second in Championship Chase, both to Altior. And there's nothing in here that could live with Altair at all. Like, I think St. Calvin's a nice horse, but he's not good enough. And Simply Ned likes Leopardstown, but it'd be a shock if he could beat Min, considering Min's had the run. And yeah, he'll just win.
I think Frank, DJ's absolutely right there. You forget how good Min is. He's an underrated sort. The next race we're going to look at is the 3:45. It's another chase over 2 mile 1. This time the novices. It's the Frank Ward Solicitors Arcor Novices Chase. And Paddy Power bet as follows.
Larichberg 7-4, Knocknanoose 130, Mainly Cairn 7-1, Duke of the Thigh 8-1 along with Paloma Blue, 10-1 Articulum and Void Rev, and Us and Them is the outsider at 16-1.
Very much looking forward to this. Frank, who's your fancy?
Yeah, this is a cracking renewal, I think. I think the way the race is potentially going to be run with Knocknanoose, Articulum, Void Rev, all liking to get on with it. Paloma Blue should be close enough to the pace as well. This could be a right frenetic race. And I just think, although he's favoured, it's hard to get away from Larichberg. He's done nothing but improve all season over fences. Like, even if you go by his RPRs, his four runs have been 135, 151, 154, 157. So he's been getting better with every run. The only defeat he's met with was against Deltwork in the Drin War. Deltwork, to me, should be fab for the RSA, but that's probably a little bit controversial. But, like, Larichberg's done nothing wrong. He was very impressive at Leopardstown at Christmas, and I think the way the race will be run will suit him. He has the stamina to stay further if necessary, and I think this will be run really, really strongly and will suit him.
DJ.
I think at the prices, you've got to chance Mainly Cairn. Like, Mainly Cairn is 7-1. Mainly Cairn is 7-1 now, okay? 7-1. He was 7-4 to beat Larichberg. Larichberg was 3-1. So, like, there's a serious turnaround in the prices here from the run at Christmas. The Mainly Cairn was bitterly disappointed, make no mistake about it. But his next flat horse that ran the Racing Post Trophy, and these chasers that come from the flat, they are in and out. Like, Gordon will admit that. They just, sometimes they just suck. And Mainly Cairn sulked from the word go, never looked happy, never looked comfortable, and didn't travel. Like, the key thing with Mainly Cairn should have been trying to get him to settle. Trying to get him to move was the problem, I thought, at Leopardstown. He never really looked like he was up for it. I think you'll see a different Mainly Cairn this time. And if you go back to his chase debut at Punchdown, he was breathtaking to me that day. I thought he jumped brilliantly. I thought he looked like a potential Arkle winner in waiting there. He's obviously got more kinks than anybody. He's a bit of an enigma. But at 7-1, you're getting a great price about him bouncing back. And at the prices, I think he's the one to be on. I'd also be interested in Paloma Blue, who jumped absolutely deplorably when winning at Leopardstown over Christmas. But he won. He jumped badly and he won, so if his jumping does improve a little bit, he could sneak into the Arkle Reckoning. And you have to remember, Paloma Blue and Mainly Cairn were both rated 150 over hurdles. Larichberg was only 140 now. I know he's a much better chaser, but you're getting 7-1 and 9-1 about two horses who are £10 better over hurdles than Larichberg.
Worst tip of the postcast all weekend, do you think there, Frank?
He's honestly one horse I really don't like Mainly Cairn. Like, as in, I have a name for him, but I can't say it over the air. He's horrible. He's horrible. I hate, if he wins, good luck to you, but he will never, ever, ever get a penny of my money.
Righto, lads. Very quickly, anything else you like on the Leopardstown card before we get the Saturday naps? DJ?
I think Uradel has got a cracking chance in the Ladbrokes Hurdle, the 2 o'clock. I just think he's right 132 over hurdle. He's 102 on the flat, won a big handicap at Galway on the flat during the summer. I just think this race will be run to suit. He probably wants a little bit further, but I think he'd be able to creep into it under Ruby Walsh. Only got 10-8 to carry. And my nap is also at Leopardstown, but I will leave that to the naps.
Okay, Frank, anything before we get the naps?
Yeah, I'd agree. Uradel's one to keep an eye on. I'm not sure. Like, 2 miles might just be a little bit sharp for him. But again, he's one to be keeping an eye on, potentially with the Carl Cup in mind at Cheltenham. The one I thought was interesting in the 4-10, the 2 mile handicap chase, Kildare for Ted Walsh, Ruby Walsh's riding. He beat Duke of the Thigh early in the season, the beginner's chase. He was getting £7 that day. But Duke of the Thigh is running in the Arkle trial at Leopardstown, so that'll tell you it was a fair effort, and he was a massive eye catcher in the Dan Moore. I thought Ruby settled him out the back. He seemed to try to teach him to settle. He was never put in the race, and he ran on nicely to finish fourth, beating I think about 8 or 9 lengths. I think there's definitely more in him. He needs to get a win to get to kind of mark that would get him into the Close Brothers or the Grand Annual, and I think he might be well handicapped off a mark of 133.
Lovely. Let's get the Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
What do you have for us, David Jennings?
Moon over Germany in the 4:20 at Leopardstown.
And Frank?
Canton 7:45, probability Ooh. For Archie Watson. The last day I was on, I think I put this up. It was a shocker for me all day. I think it was the only winner I put up. But this is unlucky on its debut at Chelmsford behind Buckingham. We got Muller in the run. It was really heavily punted that day as well. Went off 3-1. That was back in May of last year. Wasn't seen again till December. Was second, was very weak in the market. I think went from about 92 out to 11 or 12 to 1. Finished second, ran a really good race. Then ran a couple of weeks ago, won very easy, beating a horse called Sea of Reality. Sea of Reality ran a couple of weeks later, was only caught on the line by a really well-backed newcomer for Hugo Palmer. She's making her handicap debut here off of Market 73. I'd be shocked if she's not well-handicapped off that. Archie Watson's a tremendous trainer. He's in form at the moment as well. 5 winners from the last 23 runners, 22% strike rate, and I think she'll win her handicap debut.
OK, that's the 5.45 at Kempton probability. Frank is so confident he forgot the time in the race, but probability at 5.45 at Kempton is Frank's nap. Let's look at Sunday next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Frank Hickey from Paddy Power. And we are looking ahead to day 2 of the Dublin Racing Festival. 8 fantastic races at Leopardstown on Sunday. If you're going, you're in for a treat. If not, do try and catch the action on Racing TV. We'll start with the 1:15. It's the Tattersall's Island Spring Juvenile Hurdle. And Sir Eric, I believe, heads the market, Frank.
Yeah, he's 7-4. Tiger Tap Tap's 9-4. Course Sublime, 11-2. Gardens of Babylon, 9-1. Soarin', 10-1. And we're 12-1 bar.
Frank, what do you fancy here? And could this lead to any Cheltenham punts, do you think, this race?
Yeah, well, I think what we learned from last week is that the Irish juveniles are a fair bit ahead of the UK counterparts at the moment, the way that Fakhar Dudaree won. What I've heard is that Fakhar Dudaree mightn't even be the best in Joseph Stable. Apparently, the Sir Eric is very good. Obviously, his flat form when he was third behind Stradivarius in the long distance cup at Ascot is tremendous form. He's rated 109 on the flat. He won in his debut over hurdles at Leopardstown, albeit narrowly from Tiger Tap Tap, who reopposes, but you feel he'll probably improve for that, and I think he's the one for the triumph, and I'm hoping he'll win on Sunday.
Okay, David, Frank's going for the fav. What are you going for?
Yeah, I just think the market has probably given that maiden hurdle at Leopardstown too much respect almost. Like, Sir Eric and Tiger Tap Tap fought out to finish. There was a neck between them. Yeah, it was grand, it was good form, and Sir Eric was a really highly rated flat horse, rate 109. But they're like 7-4 and 9-4, and you're talking about Curse Sublime, who would have won a Grade 2 and a quite competitive Grade 2 at Leopardstown on St. Stephen's Day, is 11-2. I think there's too much between them in the market. If you remember a horse owned by Chris Jones and trained by Gordon Elliott a couple of years ago called Mega Fortune, they changed riding tactics on Mega Fortune after a couple of runs. He was being held up, and then they knew he obviously stayed further, and they rode him more prominently, which reaped handsome dividends. And I think it's going to be the same with Curse Sublime here. Like, he took a horrible fall at Leopardstown, and you're obviously going to be a little bit concerned that, you know, coming into this race on the back of that horrible fall. But I do think more prominent tactics and using his stamina, like, he's a thorough stayer. I think the triumph at Cheltenham is really going to play to his strengths. And at the prices, would I rather back Sir Eric at 7-4, Curse Sublime at 11-2? It'd be no contest for me, it'd be Curse Sublime.
Okay, the second of the four Grade 1s is the 1:50. It's the Chanel Farmer Novice Hurdle over 2 miles. And Frank, take it away with the show.
Yeah, we've joined favourites in Classical Dream and Vision Donaire, both at 5-2. Aramon's 130 and Tucas 8-1. Triplicate and Valdew are 12-1, and we're 16-1 bar.
And David, who is going to cross the line in front?
Vision Donaire, I can't tell you how much they love this horse in Gordon's. Like, they absolutely adore him. They were devastated when he was beaten first time out at Leopardstown. And obviously he's got form to turn around here. But he was so much more professional last time at Punchestown. He looked a proper racehorse, more professional that day. Jumped great, travelled great, put the race to bed, beat a well-touted horse of William Mullins that was well-backed, owned by JP McManus. Like, if you were to believe even half the things you hear about Vision Donaire, he must be a superstar. And I think this will be his first Grade 1 success.
Frank?
Yeah, look, he was very impressive the last day. But he's, like, if you remember, Classical Dream beat him at Christmas, albeit he probably needed the run. And that's where they're closely matched the betting. I'm going to take a flyer in one of the price here because I've been probably tipping up too many favourites. But Valdew, for Noel Meads, one that I thought, albeit it was a bad race the last 8 days, probably. He won very easily. he had plenty of runs and bumpers. I think he had 7 runs and bumpers in total. Probably one of the highlights was that he was second to Malone Road and Down Royal, and obviously we know that horse looks an absolute tool. He seemed to get his act together when he won at Down Royal at Christmas in his final bumper, and obviously was impressive over hurdles. He's an each-way price. He's about 12-1. And in an open-looking race where, yeah, I'm not too gone on the likes of Aramon or some of the other outsiders, I think he might be able to hit the frame. Albeit if Vision Denier is as good as they think he is, he'll probably be tough to beat. But I try Valdea with the prices.
Valdea. Okay, thank you, chaps. Let's move on to the Flowgas Novices Chase. 2 mile 5 furlongs, grade one at 3 o'clock. And Delta Work, who Frank likes very much, heads the market.
Yeah, he's 7-4. Le Bagarois is 15-8. Winterscape, 4-1. Hardline and Mortal are both 10-1. And we're 25-1 bar.
And there are 8 runners, so we can have a cut at one at a decent price each way, or we can focus on the fabs. What are you going to do, Frank?
I like think that this is a very good race. I think it'll be a good pointer to the RSA as well, because obviously Le Bagarois ties in so closely with Top of the Game and Santini. But I love Delta Work. I think he's really tough and honest. It's hard to believe he's still only 6. He won the pretense to 5-year-old off a mark of 139. He was touched off in the Grade 1 of Punchtown by Next Destination, beating a neck. And again, he's another horse that's just improved with every chase start. Only generated an RPR of 128 up and Down Royal the first day over 2 miles, 3.5. It would have been short enough from one, the Drinmore, beating the Richburg, who's won a Grade 1 since. And won very nicely at Leopardstown. Staying is his game, and I hope he wins. 2 mile 5 is probably a small bit against him. I think 3 miles is optimum, but I think Le Bagarois might be able to set it up for him. And if he's anywhere near a jump in the last, I think he'll outstay her. And I personally think he should be favoured for the RSA.
David Jennings, do you agree?
It's funny, of all the races in Sandown or Leopardstown either day, this is the race I'm most looking forward to. I think this is an absolute belter. If you were to pick a track, a trip, ground, you would pick those three terms that she's going to get on Sunday for Le Bagarois. Everything is in her favour. But, and she's obviously got form tied in. She's beaten Top of the Game. She's beaten Santini. She's beaten Lost in Translation twice. You know, her form really does stack up. But I'm in the Frank camp here with Delta Work. I think he'll win the RSA. The thing about Delta Work is he only usually does what he has to. Like, even when he beat La Richburg in the Drinmore, like, he made a mistake at the last. Davy Russell, you know, was all over the place in the finish and still got him up to win a shade snugly in the end. He won the Pretemps final last year, beating Glenn Lowe, 2 really well handicapped horses. I think he should cope with the 2 mile 5. He's a really slick jumper. Now, he got very low a couple of times at Leopardstown over Christmas, but he still won convincingly, even though the horse that was chasing him made a mistake at the last. But like Frank said, I think he'll win the RSA. I think he should be favoured for the RSA, and I think he's going to be very hard to beat.
2 very confident shouts for Delta Work, not just for Sunday, but also for Cheltenham in the RSA. And the other race we're going to shine our light on is the 3:35, arguably the highlight of the whole weekend, the Unibet Irish Gold Cup, over 3 miles. It's wide open, it's high class, it's a cracker. How do Paddy Power bet, Frank?
Yeah, we're 5-2 roll to respect, 130 both Album Photo and Bell's Hill, 6-1 Mona Lee, 15-2 Annabelle Fly, 16-1 Balka de Flo, Outlander and the Storyteller, and 25s bar.
And David Jennings, who will cross the line in front?
My strongest fancy the whole weekend is Bell's Hill, Bruce. The worry is going left-handed and Leopardstown, who he doesn't have a good record going left-handed or at Leopardstown. But I watched back the Savills chase and it didn't seem to be a problem. He just blew up in the closing stages. He was last off the bridle. And coming down to the last, you really thought he was going to put it up to Kenboy, but it was his first run for a long, long time. He hadn't ran since April. He comes alive in the second half of the season. And to be honest, I think he's potentially the second best horse in the Gold Cup market. I think he could be second favourite for the Gold Cup after this race. If you go back to the Irish National last year, like, to do what he did with that weight on that ground, I thought that was an incredible performance. He backed it up by winning the Grade 1, beating Road to Respect at Punchestown. I think he could be the horse that takes the second half of the season by storm in the Stay and Chase division. And I'd be bitterly disappointed if Bell's Hill doesn't win.
Okay, and who's your fancy, Frank?
Yeah, I can see it. Bell's Hill was I thought he was an eye catcher at Christmas, all right, but the track and stuff might just be a small question mark for me. The one I'm going to go with, he's kind of a horse I love, but he's never really done me too much of a favour financially, is Album Photo. Look, he's been unlucky a little bit throughout his chasing career. Like, if you think back to Limerick in that Grade 2 at Christmas last year, he was all set to win when he fell at the last, leaving Dunacost to win. He was second at Leopardstown in the Flowgas, beaten three quarters length by Monalee. Fell in the RSA when he was going to be probably third, potentially second, behind Presenting Percy. Obviously won the Ryanair chase at Fairy House, beating Shattered Love, who'd won the JLT, and obviously the infamous race where Paul Towner made a bit of a boo-boo at the last at Punchestown, where he was all set to win over 3 miles and he ran out. Now, it was reappearance at Tremor which really caught the eye. He was given, like, look, I don't know what the fitness was like. Like, was he fully fit and Total Recall limitation only weren't? But, like, he gave them £10 and fairly well hammered them. Now, Total Recall was slightly unfortunate at Thurles behind 2A per me. He was just behind them when he whacked the last and nearly came down. He would have been very close to winning that. And obviously, Invitation Only won the Tiestes impressively enough last week off America of 152. There's plenty of substance to that form. And it's hard to believe this horse is only 7. He's definitely open to plenty of improvement considering he's so young. And I know Ruby's picked Bell's Hill, but I like Albin Photo a lot, and I think he might be able to win on Sunday.
Okay, 4 other cracking races on the card. David, do you fancy anything else?
Yeah, in the 4:10. Now, this is a horse that will probably cause Frank to start hysterical laughter, but I'm going to give Land of Hope and Glory another chance. He's down to 130. He was such an eye-catcher in the Tim Duggan at Limerick over Christmas. He made two desperate mistakes. He was hampered at the second last, and he was still bang there on the bridle in between the final two fences. I thought this is a horse that's coming back to himself and ready to win again. And it's interesting that Luke Dempsey, that rode him at Limerick, is back on board. He's only carrying 10-1 in that 4:10. 2 mile fiver in Leopardstown should be perfect. Look, he's been bitterly disappointing, but he's a horse that I think can win over fences off at 130. Land of Hope and Glory in the 4:10.
Is Frank, do you agree with David that Land and Hope of Glory win, or do you agree with David that you will ridicule that tip?
Oh, no, I wouldn't ridicule it. He was definitely an eye catcher at Limerick. Like, he wasn't beaten that far. And, you know, those JP horses can come alive in those big handicaps. You only have to look at Auvernat at Christmas. Like, you wouldn't have really given him much of a hope, and he absolutely bolted in. So, yeah, Land of Hope and Glory has the back class. So,
Who else do you like on the card?
Well, I've had two anti-post bets for Leopardstown, and the first one's the Mayor's Handicap Hurdle, and there's a couple in there. It's held up pretty well. Like, obviously Cut the Mustard potentially could be fairly treated still off 128. She was second in a 2 mile handicap hurdle at Leopardstown behind Jetez. Sonoria was impressed with Down Royal in a maiden hurdle. She's off 128, and they probably have a good line, Henry de Bramah, with Honeysuckle, who's to me is the star mare, novice mare of the season. So they might be out of a good line with her, and she's off 128, could be fair enough. Court Maid is another one for Thomas Mullins off 124, is probably in the fair mark. But the one I really like, and I've had a decent bet on it, is Sassy Diva for Shane Crawley. Now, she's an 8-year-old mare. She's not the most resolute in the battle, potentially, but like, some of her form is very good. Like, if you go back far enough, she was second in the list of bumper at Fairy House to Fiona, albeit beaten 20 lengths. But there were plenty of 120 mares behind her that day, like Miss Sapphire, Classical Theatre, the likes of those. She was 15 lengths clear of the third that day, which kind of went to highlight that she had a bit of ability. She went to Aintree that in the mare's bumper, disappointed. Had a couple of goals over hurdles, travelled really well, didn't find much. Reappeared in November this year, went to Ayr. She absolutely hacked up, beating a horse called Peter's Cousin for Nicky Richards. Now, Peter's Cousin went to Kelso subsequently and beat Off the Hook, who's rated 121. Actually, that Peter's Cousin's one you could throw in the notebook. She's well handicapped off 111. But Sassy Diva then went to Thurles, was beaten ahead by Ting Tangle. She was all over the winner, got nailed on the line. She was giving £5 to Ting Tangle. Ting Tangle was third behind Honeysuckle last week, is rated 130. Then she went to Listed Hurdle at Thurles, was second to Honeysuckle, giving her £3. Honeysuckle is one I've backed for the Mayor's Novice Hurdle. I think she's really good. So it was a fair effort to only beat in 3 1/4 lengths. And Sassy Diva gets in here off a mark of 116. She's definitely well handicapped. She'll come to the last hurdle, I think, travelling. Whether she'll get out-battled or not, I don't know, but I think she's really well-treated. I think she's a massive chance. And the other one I backed is in the 225, the William Fry Handicap Hurdle over 3 miles. Pleasure Dawn for Willie Mullins, Ruby Walsh rides. Dallas the Pickdown's a massive danger, running off 130. He probably needs to win to get into the Martin Pipe, which I think probably is his aim. But Pleasure Dome was obviously really well thought of on the flat. Went off 5-1 favour for the RSSR, which off a mark of 85. Was 8 in that, beaten 8 lengths. Was 4th in November handicap at Nace off 84. So it's pretty decent flat form. She was well fancied for grade three at Cork over hurdles, was beaten that day, disappointed badly, if the ground was terrible, went to Limerick at Christmas in a grade two, she travelled really well, just couldn't get a run at all, and it was very difficult then to pick up late on that ground. I think she's definitely well handicapped off 130. I think she's got a solid chance as well.
Beautiful. Thank you, chaps. DJ, I presume you are hard at it both days from Leopardstown, are you?
Jeez, you can't say that on air, Bruce.
What?
You mean working. Sorry. Yeah. No, I'll be working.
You're married now, mate. I wouldn't...
That's the end of it.
Don't worry about the other stuff. Yes, working, I meant.
Yeah, I will be
looking forward to it.
Both days. Yeah, can't wait. This is what it's all about.
Should be good. Frank, are you going to be able to get along, or are you going to be locked into the studio at Paddy Power, Power Towers, doing your thing?
Being the good egg that I am, Bruce, I said I'd work the weekend to let the lads go up to Leopardstown. So I'm the one taking the bullet. But it's actually myself and Jill's 2-year wedding anniversary this weekend. So
oh,
we're going
lovely.
To a nice hotel. Yeah, a nice. Imagine it's 2 years already.
Well,
time flies, doesn't it? But yeah, we're going out to a nice hotel Sunday night. So I'll try and get out of work early Sunday, hopefully.
What's the hotel
Pardon?
Called? What's the hotel
the
called?
The Westbury.
Oh,
so if my tips are
a few winners lately.
Absolutely not, and a shocking run. But sure, if my tips are shite, you can come to the Westbury and give me grief on Sunday evening if you want.
I stayed at the Westbury once, and it's a beautiful breakfast. It's really nice. But there was this thing called box tea on there, B-O-X-T-Y. So I said to the waiter, I said, what's this box tea? He goes, it's a potato thing. I said, what? He goes, it's a potato thing. I said, what? And a lady goes, he means it's a potato thing. That's a translation. So I've never had box tea ever since, but that's what I always remember it for. So if you stand over, do have the box tea for breakfast the next day, Frank. Okay, congratulations on 2 years. Thank you very much indeed for your input, chaps. Maddie is back on Monday to review a fantastic weekend and take an early look ahead to the following weekend's action. And then she's also back in this chair next Friday, looking ahead to Betfair Hurdle Day at Newbury.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.